All right. My dear friends, it is wonderful that we are gathered here in our Father's house today. And what a crazy thing it is that we get to be here, that we get to be in the presence of God, considering all the stuff that you guys have done this week. Well, I mean, not just you, I guess all of us. But nevertheless, isn't that an astounding thing that our God, that we are here on the basis of incredible grace and love, that our God loves us profoundly and persistently in spite of all the things that we have done. And as we gather here today, let us remember the day that God washed us clean and created this relationship with us by which we receive this forgiveness of sins. When we were baptized and brought into the family of God himself, we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come before you today, having been called to follow you. Lord, I pray that you help us to just be present, to set any worries and cares aside and just listen, to listen to your word. Be shaped by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, and have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Savior, all the day long. million angels fall, face down on the floor, all to echo, holy is the Lord. My heart can't help but sing with all of heaven roar, forever echo, holy is the Lord. Oh, 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 forever echo, holy is the Lord. Memorized by every heart, written in eternity.
I'm one of your elders. My name is Steve Mangrum. First reading today is Job 40, verses 1 through 14. The Lord said to Job, "Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him." Then Job answered the Lord, "I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hands over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I say no more." Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. "Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? Do you have an arm like God's, and can your voice thunder like this? Then adorn yourself with glory and splendor, and clothe yourself in honor and majesty. Unleash the fury of your wrath. Look at all who are proud and bring them low. Look at all who are proud and humble them. Crushed the wicked where they stand. Bury them all in the dust together. Shroud their faces in the grave. Then I myself will admit to you that you are, that you own right hand, your own right hand can save you. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message.
Good morning. This morning, we're going to talk about coloring. So I'm sure when you were little and you were beginning to color, your pictures might have looked like this one. Kind of all scribbly, kind of all messy. But as you got older and you had more experience with coloring, your pictures may have looked like this one, where you're coloring more in the lines, where you got more colors, and it's brighter. These pictures remind me of the Ten Commandments. If you look at the one that's kind of all messy, that's when we don't do what God has set for us. God gave us the Ten Commandments to follow his guidelines. And sometimes we just don't color in the lines and we make bad choices. But when we color in the lines and we follow God's choices, then we are following his plan. When we look at the ones that are colored and we read the Bible and we follow his plan, then that's what he wants us to do. Now, there are times when we don't color in the lines because no one colors inside the lines all the time. But that's okay, because we have Jesus to help us. We have Jesus who loves us, and he helps us understand, and he forgives us. So when we remember to make good choices, then we are forgiven with Jesus. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, help us to remember that you set boundaries for us. Help us to stay within the lines so that our lives will be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today's text is some of the first words that God spoke to the children of Israel, but there's a lot of things that are leading us up to this point. We're only in the second book of the Bible here, chapter 20, so, you know, getting on in the book of the second book of the Bible, but still very, very close to the beginning of all things. And so let's just summarize what God's done so far. First of all, he created everything that is. He made everything. Everything that exists around us, including us, exists because our Father called it into being. Right? So he kind of knows and understands this crazy world. When mankind fell into sin, he promised them a savior, but then he also banished them from the garden. When the next generation, we had the first murder, when Cain killed Abel, and God judged Cain. And then when the evil of mankind got so pervasive in this world, God at one point he kind of gave up on a bunch of the people. He just said, these people are so bad, we have to do something about this. And so he sent a flood upon the earth to wipe out all the people who had gone so wrong. And he selected one man and his family to be saved in an ark, literally a lifeboat, protecting the life that God had created so that the world could be repopulated. And then evil got bad again, and mankind got proud and started to build a tower that would bring them glory. And God intervened and confused their language so that the project was never finished. And now, very recently, the people of God were slaves in the land of Egypt. And God appeared to Moses in a burning bush, which you don't think much of that until you really, when you stop to really think about it, that's kind of an amazing thing. That God literally was in a bush, it was burning but not consumed, and then God spoke to Moses and told him that you are going to be my spokesman, my prophet, the one who is going to prophesy to Pharaoh to free my people, and you will lead my people out of Egypt to the land that I will show you. Wow. And then God intervened in history and took a world power nation, a great nation, a nation that all the other nations lived in fear of. God decimated that nation, tore it down from the inside, destroyed their food, destroyed their health, destroyed their farms, took away the Nile River that gave them so much of their identity and so much of their life. He unsettled them in such a powerful way. And when the Pharaoh would still not let God's people go, he finally sent the final flood, or the final plague, that by which all the firstborn of Egypt were killed. And Pharaoh could not get the children of Israel out of Egypt fast enough. But then, of course, changed his mind and sent his army after God's people. And the people were pinned between the army of Pharaoh and the sea, and God sent a pillar of fire to stand guard over his people to keep the army away from them, and then liberated his people by giving them a dry path through the sea. When the army of Pharaoh followed them, God closed the sea over the entire army, once again decimating this world power nation by destroying their army. When the people of Israel walked 3 days into the wilderness, they ran out of water, and God gave them good, sweet water that they could drink, providing for them over and over with water from rocks. When the people got hungry, he gave them manna, this thing that literally is called, what is it? Because they'd never seen anything like it before. And when that wasn't enough for the people, when they complained further, he sent them quail so that the people would have meat to eat. And now the people are brought to the mountain of God, and they are prepared for this. God told Moses, prepare the people, let them know. God is about to descend upon this mountain. And when God descends upon this mountain, do not touch the mountain. Do not go up into the mountain. Anybody who touches the mountain will have to die, whether it be man or beast. And then God descends upon the mountain, and it is fearsome, and it is amazing, and it is this dark cloud with lightning and power and unbelievable glory. And then God speaks to his people to give them his law. Now, why should these people listen to God? Seems a little silly, doesn't it? The God that has done all this, the God with this kind of powerful track record, the God that has created all things and has shown his incredible power over and over again, the one who has shown himself to be completely and utterly different from people, way above people, so far above people that it's just how do you compare? And the people were spoken, and God spoke his law to his people, and the people don't listen. The people persistently think that they're smarter than God. The people persistently believe that they're in their wisdom, they're in their understanding, have a better understanding of what it is that God should be saying, so that they decide to put their ideas above what God reveals to them. And we don't have anybody like that today. I mean, in the culture today where we define, where we you know, God tells us that we should abstain from any sexual acts until after we're married, and then only with our spouse. And there are a lot of people out there who think they know better. I mean, wouldn't it be better if we lived together first so that we can make sure we're compatible? Wouldn't that be a better idea than God's idea? What if we redefine marriage completely? I mean, God has basically said when he created Adam, he created a person, a partner suitable for him. And that partner was a woman. But we decide that we can redefine marriage because we are smart. And we understand things that I guess God doesn't. And we think our ideas are going to be better, and they're going to make life better and more make people happier. Oh, and there's another one. God tells us that we're supposed to be guarding each other's reputation, not bearing false witness against each other, but instead interpreting everything in the kindest possible way. And we're really good at this when people are standing right in front of us. But get us on the internet, and we will thrash people. And after all, we can justify it because it's true to me. We just make up stuff. We live life the way we feel instead of looking to the law that God has given us. And you know, this is reason enough for us to obey God. I mean, if you just understand who he is, understand that he has all power, all authority, all knowledge, that's enough. We owe him obedience strictly on the basis that he is God. Here's the thing that blows my mind. When God Almighty speaks to his people, he does not appeal to them from his power. His power is obvious and evident. I mean, after all, he just descended on the mountain, and it is a crazy, amazing, powerful thing that the children of Israel are seeing. And his voice is so terrifyingly loud and powerful that the children of Israel, immediately after God does this whole thing, I've told you this so many times, the children of Israel beg Moses, please don't ever let God talk to us again. You go talk to God, you tell us what he says, we will listen to you. They didn't, just so you know. But they were very, very frightened by God's power and the glory of God's presence. But when God reveals himself, when God speaks to his people, though his appeal to them, the reason he wants them to listen to him, and the reason that God says, I want you to listen to my law and obey my law, is this. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Does God want his relationship with us based on fear? Does he want us to look at him as this terrifying God that we must obey or we will be punished? He reveals himself right before he gives his law as, I am the God that loved you and rescued you. Yes, I am powerful, but I use that power for you because I love you, because you are the precious ones, precious in my sight, worth my trouble. And I brought you out of slavery because you belong to me and I love you. And so because I have rescued you, because you are my people, here is how I want you to live. Here is how you can bring me glory in your life. Here is how you can love me back. Because we have received such love from him. The children of Israel received such love from him. He says, now I want you to love me and to love each other. It's what the commandments are a summary of. And so these commandments are not something, understand this, this is a big deal. If we were just trying to be good enough for God, we would look at the commandments, we would look at God's law as how can I accomplish this in the least possible way, in the easiest possible way, right? I mean, if it's just a list that we're trying to live up to, then we can look at it in a minimalistic way and try to get by with as little as possible because, after all, you don't want to have to work harder than you need to, right? But that's not how Jesus wants us to follow his law. He wants us to follow his law because we have been so filled with love. We have been so filled with his grace. We are so overcome with the unbelievable grace and forgiveness that we have been shown in spite of our constant sin, that we want to give praise and adoration to the God who has saved us, that we want to respond to him with thanks and praise, and not minimalistic, but maximal, because whatever I can do, I mean, is there anything that we can do for God that is anything close to the gift that he has given us? I mean, we were lost in sin. We were in huge trouble. Our lives were purposeless. We had purposeless lives. We had no reason to be alive, to live, to do. We were just hanging out in the world, hurting each other and causing pain. That was what we did. And God chose to love us in that state and died for us so that we could be his own and called into a relationship with him and given a purpose to carry out the love of God in this world, to love him, to love each other, and to do it with not just begrudgingly, not just in a minimal way, but in a creative way that we will actually sit and think about how can we better bring glory to God? How can we better love these people that God has given us? How can we do this in a way that is even more reflective of his incredible grace in this world? How can I do more? Not how little can I get away with, but what is the most I can do? What is the most I can give? What is the most I can sacrifice for all that God has given me? Because he sacrificed his life for me, I want to give my life for him. And to do it in an effective way that really does his purpose in this world. And so when we study these Ten Commandments, this is the first sermon in a big series, okay? And we're going to be talking about all the Ten Commandments. Each sermon is going to cover a commandment. As we go through these, I don't want you to be thinking about what must I do in order to keep this commandment? I want you to be thinking, what can I do so that I can bring glory to God in this part of my life? What more can I give? How more can I let God into my heart? How more can I let God's love shine out of me into the world? And how can I be a better witness for him as I live out my life? We are called in a radical way by a radical God with a crazy salvation. And then we are given a new identity a new life that we are to live not demurely and quietly, but with all our passion and our all of our abilities so that we can do for God everything that he has done for us, that we can live out this incredible grace in our life, reflecting his incredible love into the world. The love that is being shined upon you should not be soaked into you alone, but should be reflected. Everybody should be able to tell you're a Christian, because Christians just love. And they love the way God says to love, not some redefinition of love from the wisdom of the world. So we don't just say we love and then we come up with our own ideas for that. We love and then we look at God's law and say, now what does this mean? How do I love correctly in this world? And so, my friends, this is an incredible thing. We are walking into Lent. This is the first Sunday in Lent. And Lent is a season where we are to be introspective. We are to be assessing, examining our lives. And it's not going to be comfortable, let me tell you. Whenever you start looking at yourself really closely, you find things you don't want to see. And that's the point. The point is that when Jesus died on the cross and on Easter that we're looking forward to, when he rises from the dead, he takes all of our sin and he gives us new life. But I think a lot of times we don't fully appreciate the gift we've been giving because we don't actually stop long enough to look at our sin. I mean, who wants to? But this season is a season where we do exactly that, where we look at God's perfect law and we compare ourselves to it. And not just the things we do, but the heart beneath it and the attitudes beneath it and the false ideas about ourselves beneath it, all of the things that are wrong in our lives, so that we can take all of this and not sit and feel bad about it, but that we can take all of this and bring it to the cross. And the forgiveness of God is so sweet when we realize how much there is to forgive. And so as we go through this Lenten season, let us worshipfully examine ourselves. Let us not make excuses. Let us not justify our sin. Let us instead bring our sins to the foot of the cross and receive the justification of Jesus, the forgiveness that he earned for us. And then let's go out and love. Let us love the way we have been loved. Jesus even said this. People will know you because you love one another. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for your incredible love, Lord, for this law that you have given us to instruct us and help us, Lord, to know what love looks like. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts and our minds, Lord, so that we may grow closer to you every day, Lord, and that we may bring you glory in our lives, Lord, in spiritual acts of worship as we sacrifice our own selves. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Changing me, changing you. We have come.
sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound. Ancient words ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me.
Please stand as we profess our shared faith with the words of the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with the prayers of our church. We pray that you would be with Kyle Tibbles as he has surgery next month. We pray that you would help to send away any anxiety or fears that he might have, trusting that you are guiding this process. Pray that you would guide the surgeons who are going to be working. Just pray that the surgery be successful. Lord, I thank you that Kathy Zeeble has been restored to health, and thank you that she is back here with us, and pray that you continue to give her strength. Lord, we pray for all those who are mourning the loss of William Williams and Hope Rusnak's grandpa. Pray that you would grant them comfort at this time and help them to know your love. Lord, I pray that you be with Evan Johnson and all the students who are on the immersion trip. I pray that you would grant them safe travels to all their destinations, and I pray that it be a meaningful experience for all those who are participating in it. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us. Especially this day, we thank you for freeing us from the bondage of sin, setting us free so that we can live according to your desires. Help us to know your will and to follow your spirit where we go, so that we might bring you glory and shine your light to a people who so desperately need to know of your goodness and love. All these things we pray in your Son's holy and precious name, praying as he has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
The wine.
is the body of
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
Failing, let mercy fall on me.
Thank you for joining us again in worship today. This time I'd like to dismiss any children who are going to Sunday school to go ahead and go to the back and meet up with our DCE, Lauren Bates. But a couple of announcements that I want to highlight. One is we have Easter basket donations being collected right now. If you have brought them in today or you bring them in the future, you can bring them up to the red tablecloth tables. If you're wondering what it is that we are looking for, I believe there's a sign somewhere over there. I'm not seeing it, but I know there's a sign for sure over, there's a table outside the office, the church office, that has a list of everything. And I encourage you all to please consider giving to this. We have looking to serve 40 families this year. And so really could take all of us kind of helping support this to support out these people in our community who are in need. Also want to highlight that we have Lenten services continuing. As Pastor Bob mentioned, we have a series going on, and so actually the sermon that's going to be on the first commandment is going to be this Wednesday. So if you want to get the full set of 10, then it's good to go Wednesday, Sunday, etc. To get all of them. And so I encourage you to consider coming. We have a 5:30 service for children from 5:30 to about 6. We have a dinner from 6 to 7, and then 7 o'clock is our evening Lenten service. We also have an 11:30 Lenten service for those who that time would be better. Also want to mention that, so today we're wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount study that I've been teaching, and then starting next week, Pastor Bob's going to be teaching a study on how to share your faith with other people. And so if you're somebody who's wondering, you know, I don't know the best way to do that, if I'm being honest, I encourage you to consider coming to that Bible study starting next week, Sunday. Otherwise, the last thing I want to note is that we have, if you're looking for someone to pray with you today, we have an elder who's going to be in the prayer chapel, just ready to hear what's on your heart and to pray with you and to give you that strength and encouragement. Otherwise, thank you again for coming, and I pray you have a blessed week.